Coming up on episode number 661, well, it's cover story night, Thursday night, and also coincides with the birthday, the 60th birthday of Alexander Delerinsky, better known to his fans and fans of the Scrambles as Lex Dallas. We're going to look at some of his music as well as some covers of his music and even a special tune from his mother. All this and more coming up right now on Coverville.
Just getting rougher, cover me. Come on, baby, cover me. Well, I'm looking for a woman who will come on in and cover me.
Greetings from Coverville for a Thursday night. It is April 1st, 2010. My name is Brian Ibbett, and welcome to another Cover Story edition of Coverville. Tonight, you know, Cover Story is where we take a look at an artist's life in music, either through covers or covers of his music. And tonight we've got Lex Dallas, a guy that everybody claims as an influence, or everybody claims as one of their first concerts they saw. You know, he's almost sprung up as much as Elvis as far as sightings. Although the guy isn't dead, you know, he could easily be hovering over a poker game in Duluth, Minnesota, as some people have claimed. But what's funny is when I started talking about doing a Lex Dallas cover story, I started getting people, podcasters and actors and people in the industry, started telling me their Lex Dallas story. And I thought, you know, in addition to playing the music tonight, it actually would be kind of fun to listen to how Lex Dallas has affected other people's lives. Just some basics here. Like I said, he was born Alexander Delerinsky, April 1st, 1950, so he's celebrating his 60th birthday today. He was born in Ames, Iowa, and his mother, Ava Delerinsky, who everybody knows from her one-hit wonder in 1968 Virgin Child of the Universe. We're actually going to hear that later on in the show. But you know what? Let's go ahead and get to one of these memories, this one coming from Mr. Randy Jordan.
Hey, Brian. It's Randy Jordan from The Instance. I just just you're about to record this episode of Coverville, and I just heard you're going to be talking about Lex Dallas, and I just wanted to, man, thank you for that, because I have been so frustrated. I have a lot of, you know, to offer the canon of this fantastic musician, and I keep trying to build a Wikipedia article on Lex Dallas, and every time I do, it gets speedy deleted. Other Wikipedia editors give me all this grief about him not being notable enough. So I'm kind of glad that you're out there. Like this, I think this episode of Coverville gives us a little more weight to the notability of this really, really interesting individual and musician. And I'm going to try again. So thanks, man.
Would help if I turn the microphone. Well, thank you, Randy, for that. By the way, Randy, not just on The Instance, but also a co-host. If you haven't checked out FilmSack at FilmSack.com, it's another show that I do. Take a look at that. Now, before we talk about Lex Dallas's solo work, before we talk about his time with the new wave band The Scrambles, we have to go back even further, back to 1968, and a song by his mother. Now, he's born into a musical family. Everybody knows about his guitar virtuoso. Everybody knows about his xylophone, his mastery of the xylophone. But because his name is Lex Dallas, a lot of people don't make the connection that he's the son of Ava Delerinsky, who had a hit in 1968 with Virgin Child of the Universe. And I thought it would be kind of fun to open the show with the woman that gave him the influence, the woman who kind of set him on his way, got him interested in music, and kind of set the stage for him, but was never... you know, kind of pulling him along. You know, he never took her, he never used her name, never used the name Delerinsky, so he couldn't really ride on her coattails. So from the single of the same name, here is Virgin Child of the Universe, performed by Ava Delerinsky.
As the day comes to an end. The virgin child of the universe is swept up in the fierce drive of sexual. This missing link of destiny. When is the turning point? When is the turning point? I say,
according to a study, this song is actually the second most popular song performed at karaoke nights around the USA, with Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler being number one. That is Virgin Child of the Universe from 1968 by Ava Delerinsky, her tribute to Saturnate and a young girl's discovery of, well, who knows what. That is the mother, like I said, of Lex Dallas, formerly with the Scrambles. Let's go ahead and get back to some more people's memories. This is one from Andy Milder.
Hey, Brian, Andy Milder from Weeds here. So you wanted to know my Lex Dallas story. I had no idea who Lex Dallas was in high school, but my girlfriend, well, the girl I had a crush on, I wish she were my girlfriend, Anita Suman, back in the day, wanted to go see the Scrambles, who I did know, play at the Whiskey A Go-Go here in Los Angeles. And we got fake IDs. I mean, we did the whole thing so we could get into the Whiskey A Go-Go. And we got into the Whiskey A Go-Go, and there was Lex Dallas. I just didn't even know he was the lead singer. I mean, I knew nothing about music. But I did kind of know the Scrambles, and that was cool. So we were watching them play. And it was cool. And then Lex Dallas, went to do like a stage dive or something. He put his hands up above him like in a V and then fell backwards into the crowd. And some kid, who was probably like four kids away from me, Lex Dallas's back of his head struck this kid in the nose when he tried to catch him, broke his nose. There was blood everywhere. And Lex Dallas felt so bad, he got some of the blood off the ground and face painted himself like a, you know, like in those stripes that they put on for Aborigines or whatnot, and sang the rest of the concert with this kid's blood on him and was like, "This is for you, man." It was actually kind of cool. As I tell the story now, it was probably cooler back when I was in high school than it is now as an adult. But that is my Scrambles Lex Dallas story, my friend.
Hey, Home Fries, it's CeCe Chapman from Accident Hash. And when I heard that Coverville was going to be talking about this guy, Lex Dallas, I was like, oh my God, I haven't heard Lex's name in a while. I mean, I think back in the 80s when, you know, his band The Scrambles was out there, you really had to be in touch with the new music because you weren't finding their music in like all the CD stores and stuff. You know, at least, you know, growing up in New Hampshire, you know, little strawberry, you know, that we had strawberries we could get music at and coconuts and stuff. What was it with fruit named band play? Anyways, but Lex, man, he had this, he tapped into something that was so unique and so different. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, Duran Duran, and it wasn't Adamant. It was sort of a combination of all those things. And, I hope Brian's going to play. Chance does this really, real, we'll see if he plays it. He does some cool covers. I've heard him do the Scrambles. It's amazing. It's awesome. But Lex was one of those guys, you never saw him anywhere. And it's funny, I think about it now, and I would have loved to take his photo. Like, I would have loved to have gone to a concert, you know, because I remember hearing rumors that he used to play shows in New Hampshire also, because he had, like, a cabin up in the Maine woods or something. You never know what's real and what's fake. But Lex was the man. I mean, his lyrics, you know, it was something like, you know, it was like the New York Times crossword puzzle on a Sunday morning. It just felt right. It felt familiar. And yet it was always challenging. Like, you were like, wait, did he just say that? What did it mean? I don't know. Maybe I'm overanalyzing it. But, you know, I talk about the people who influenced me a lot. And Lex Dallas, I mean, if you're a music fan and you haven't listened to Lex's tunes before, I don't know. Go out, find it. You're not going to find it on iTunes or anything, I don't think. At least I haven't found it yet. But, you know, go out and search for some Scrambles albums. They were only around for a little while, but and if you can find Lex's solo poetry album that he did, it was all in haiku. It was amazing. Find it. It's not that easy, but, you know, maybe email me and I'll play it and I'll send it to you or give you a link or something, right? You know, go over to accidentash.com. Maybe I can, you know, I don't, Brian, maybe I gotta get some of these covers maybe. I didn't realize they were cleared. I don't know. Anyways, Lex, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you know, Lex Dallas, man. You know, I'm a lifelong fan, and I hope all my home fries listen to him too. Thanks for doing this, Brian. It's appreciated.
That's CC Chapman from Accident Hash, and man, and it's funny, we're talking about the Scrambles. I do have a Scrambles cover coming up, a cover of Rock and Roll McDonald's, which was from that first album, Sit Down and Shut Up. Which was not a very big album. It was there was only one single from that album. It was not quite as big as their second album, 2, 4, and 7 More, which, let's go ahead and listen to Dan Klass from The Bitterest Pill. He's got a little bit of a Lex Dallas story himself.
Yeah, in the spring, must have been the spring of 85, really, anything, you know, everything that people were listening to at that, at least on campus when I was in school, was the Scrambles. And they had just come out at that time with 2, 4, and 7 More, that album, and I think we played every cut at one point or another, to the point actually where by the fall of 85, I was so sick of the Scrambles that I couldn't take it anymore, and I was thinking of putting a poster of Lex Dallas on my wall and just pummeling it with food scraps.
Actually, Dan had a couple of memories. Let's go ahead and get to the second of those.
You know, I always kind of liked his style, and it wasn't actually until years later that I kind of was just poking around, and I remember seeing, and I think there's this brief scene in, I think it's the Filth and the Fury, the Sex Pistols documentary, the Julian Schnabel thing, where, you know, he's taking all these shots of those clubs in London at that time, and I had no idea that Lex Dallas was actually part of that scene, that kind of pre-punk, birth of punk, you know, because, you know, they're showing these shots of, like, you know, of the Pistols and Billy Idol and Susie Sue and all the, and then there's Lex Dallas. And I guess back in those days, he would, I can't think of the name of the band he was in right now. Maybe he was just kind of a solo thing, but he'd come out on stage and he'd be in chaps and a cowboy hat and nothing else. And he would perform his sets, these live sets, these really kind of, you know, anger-filled punk sets with a ball gag in his mouth. You know, apparently the people loved it. And then he ended up hooking up somehow with Malcolm McLaren. And Malcolm said, you know, you got the cowboy thing is working for you, but you got to, you know, if you want to be the star that you want to be, you got to maybe put on some trousers. I think what he ended up doing is he paid Malcolm McLaren like £5,000 for some advice. And that was McLaren's advice. Put on some trousers. And you know, obviously the rest is history. I believe it was, what was it, like 5 years ago now? What is it, 2, 5, 5, maybe 7 years ago. Trent Reznor did a cover of one of this really early, you know, pre-Scrambles ball gag songs. I could never make out the, you know, because all the lyrics on the liner notes were always written out phonetically, like how it would sound with a ball gag in your mouth. And so I was never clear on the title of the song, but
Apparently, Trent Reznor did a cover of it, and he would actually have Lex Dallas come on stage with him during the tours when he was doing the song and do the song. And Lex had to be, you know, I don't know, 50 at the time, right? 50, I don't know, bad on the math. But yeah, he toured a little bit with Nine Inch Nails doing a cover of this song that, I mean, as far as I know, it's called And I dug it. It was actually one of my favorite early songs of his.
And unfortunately, I don't have that one. What I do have, finally, let's get to another tune here. A cover of that first Scrambles hit, like I said, from Sit Down and Shut Up, called Rock and Roll McDonald's. This one is performed by Wesley Willis. Came out about 1988. Big hit. Let's go ahead and listen to Wesley Willis and his cover of Rock and Roll McDonald's.
McDonald's is a place to rock. It is a restaurant where they buy food to eat. It is a good place to listen to the music. People flock here to get down to the rock music. Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! McDonald's will make you fat. They serve Big Macs. They serve quarter pounders. They will put pounds on you. Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! McDonald's hamburgers are the worst. They are worse than Burger King. A Big Mac has 26 grams of fat. A quarter pounder has 28 grams of fat. Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock over London, rock on Chicago. Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
Hey, Brian. I understand from your Facebook page you're looking for stories about Lex Dallas, the lead of the Scramblers. It was about 1993. It was my first or second year of college. I probably should remember it better than this. But I was up there in New England, and Lex ended up retiring to a little farm or something out there in Vermont. And it was really exciting time, and I decided it was mid-November, and I took a bunch of the friends from college, and we headed out to his place to just kind of meet him. And, you know, kind of get to, you know, it's just, he's an icon of the 80s. And so, you know, I guess he was like my Jimmy Buffett or something. I just really wanted to meet him, shake his hand. I grew up, I had my hair cut like his. I wore the white suit with the padded shoulders. I was all, you know, I was kid new wave back then. And we ended up finding this farm. And it's kind of strange, but he's kind of like the J.D. Salinger of new wave music. He does not like to be disturbed. He chased us off his property with a shotgun, and it was probably the most terrifying 15 minutes of my life. We ended up hiding behind a big old Chevy until we could sneak back to our car. I just wanted to throw that out, that despite his massive artistic potential and how he basically ruled the 80s, and, you know, he dominated the new wave scene, he doesn't like to be disturbed much anymore. Won't sign autographs, it turns out. Well, Brian, I wish you the best, and give me I'm just kind of shocked that I was chased with a shotgun by Lex Dallas there. Anyways, wish you the best. Take care, guys.
Yeah. And if you do go to sitdownshutup.com, it's the website, the unofficial Lex Dallas website, where people have kind of posted their Lex Dallas stories. You can actually see a photo of Lex Dallas now, or at least how he was in the early 90s on his farm with his shotgun. Kind of, he got dreadlocks. He's looks a little crazy in the eye. Poor guy. It'd be nice to see him kind of get that that greatness, that fame that he once had. Let's listen to a couple more memories from people, and then I've got another tune, actually tune by Lex Dallas, a cover that he did. Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the song. Here is Mr. Scott Johnson.
Hey, Brian Ebbett, this is Scott Johnson over here at Frog Pants Studios, Extra Life, Film Sack, all that kind of fun stuff. You know me. Who's down with OPP? Hey, I wanted to call. I know you're doing a special retrospective on Lex Dallas, and I had to chime in because, dude, I don't even know what my... You know, like people say, without Star Wars as kids, they would have been totally different people. Like, it had such an impact on their lives. That's true of Star Wars for me as well, but Lex Dallas holds probably the most important spot, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of influence on me when I was a kid. I mean, it was huge. You know, people look at the Beatles or Elvis or something and, you know, say, well, that spoke to my generation, or that was, you know, that was the ultimate for me as a young person kind of growing up and trying to find out who they are. For me, it was totally Lex Dallas. And I will never forget the night they came to Salt Lake, along with, I'm trying to think who opened. I want to say it was Kiss, and it was during their not makeup years. So it was Kiss before the makeup, or after the makeup, I'm sorry. So they did the whole makeup thing, then they quit doing their makeup. They got up there and opened for them. Terrible, terrible performance. But all anybody wanted to do was wait for Lex Dallas to get out there. He comes out drunk, obviously drunk out of his mind, cigarette hanging out of one side of his mouth, bottle of Jack Daniels dripping from his hand, grabs that microphone, and it does that whole kind of distortion thing on the microphone, gets dead quiet in the stadium. It's the Salt Palace in 1986. Gets dead quiet. You hear people coughing and kind of stuff in the background. And he says these words: F you guys, I'm going home. The place erupts in applause. He never played a single song, not a single set. He just turned around, threw that microphone stand on the floor, stormed off the stage and left. Everybody left early. Nobody was mad, because this was the genius of the man, that he could get up there and he could say things with such truth that we were just stunned. And the rest is history. I mean, it changed my life. Everything I am, everything I do, is essentially tied to the wagon of Lex Dallas. So thanks for doing this retrospective. I hope my own personal experience probably reflects what a lot of fans felt in the 80s. And I wish I could meet the man, sort of kneel before him and tell him what all this meant to me. And I'm sure it meant a lot to you. So thanks for what you do. I mean, without Coverville, how would we even know? Take it easy. Later.
Thank you, Scott. Very cool. Well, before we get to some more memories and some more music, let's talk about the sponsor for tonight's episode of Coverville, Audible.com. Now is a great time to try out Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook, just a free tryout. See what you think of listening to listening to recorded audio wherever you go. You're already doing that. You're doing that with Coverville. So this should be a no-brainer for you. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Coverville and try out a free book right now from audible.com. You got a bunch to choose from, 75,000 titles, including the Lex Dallas biography, which you must check out. All of this over at audible.com. Remember, audiblepodcast.com/Coverville. Okay, let's go ahead and get to one more memory here from Clinton over at Comedy Forecast. Let's see what he's got.
Hi, this is Clinton from Comedy Forecast. Oh, yeah. I remember seeing the Scrambles here in Boston back in 85, I think it was, at the Paradise. The show was sold out, packed. It was right after they'd done Solid Gold, which I always thought was kind of weird. Anyway, the band comes out, and before they can even begin to play, Dallas starts going on and on about what a great movie Back to the Future is, how it blew his mind. and he stands there and starts to reenact the entire movie. I mean, word for word. Then Marty says this, Doc Brown does that. I mean, the crowd started to boo, they were throwing things, but he kept on going. I gotta tell you, it wasn't pretty. By the time Marty made it to the enchantment under the sea dance, the riot police were clearing the place out. People around here say it was the worst concert ever. I don't know about that. I hear he did the same thing a few months later in Minneapolis. Except he reenacted Desperately Seeking Susan.
Thank you for that, Clinton. Wow, yeah, 1985, that was a big year for him. Obviously with the release of 2, 4, and 7 More. It was coming. It was basically the highest point of the Scrambles. It was right after that, actually, that they changed the name of the band to Lex Dallas and the Scrambles, which I think caused some problems with the rest of the band, and actually was probably the precursor to Lex going off on his own. He met his then wife, or his soon to be ex-wife, Nellie Ricken. And then wrote an album of music dedicated to her called Dear Cat Lady. And this song right here is a cover of Alvin Dunn's You're Driving Me Mad. Here is Mr. Lex Dallas.
You are selfish. You are vain. You are driving me insane. If you don't stop, I will explode. 'Cause I can't take the overload. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. With all your nonsense and all your games, you are driving me mad. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. With all your nonsense and all your games, you are driving me mad. Can't take it anymore. Now's the time to close the door. I will before I explode. 'Cause I can't take the overload. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. With all your nonsense and all your games, you are driving me mad. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. You drive me mad, you drive me mad, you drive me mad. With all your nonsense and all your games, you are driving me mad. We'll be right back.
from the album that was an ode to his then-wife, Nellie Ricken. That is You're Driving Me Mad, the album title, Dear Cat Lady, by Lex Dallas. You know what? We got just time for a couple more memories here, and let's go ahead and get to the first one.
Yeah, it was like August 63. I remember Lex did a set on the West End, and everyone was like, yeah. We knew then that something big was going to happen. If you want to know where the British invasion started, it wasn't the Stones. It wasn't Herman's Hermits. Don't even think about the Beatles. It was Lex. He was the one who got it all started.
That is going to do it for this edition of Coverville. Thank you so much. I've got one more memory to go here. I'm going to play it after the break. If you want to email me, coverville@gmail.com. The request line is 206-222-COVER, or post a message on the weblog or in the forums at coverville.com. Your one-stop shop for everything cover song related. We'll be back next week with another all-request show. Until then, this is Brian Ibbett saying that just about covers it for tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Coverville is a proud member of the Backbeat Media Podcast Network, and bandwidth for Coverville was provided by CacheFly, CacheFly, CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Ernie Kunzpart of Bells in your Battery. I remember seeing Lex in a Star Trek convention back in 1987, I think it was. And he was dressed up. Yeah, who would have thought? I mean, he was dressed up as Counselor Troy. And I'm talking about with the original uniform, not the later, more modest uniform. And he was filling it out pretty good. I'm not really sure what with. It kind of scares me to think about that, but the wig worked very well, and I think he continued using that wig for the rest of his career. I've got his first album on vinyl, and I treasure it very much. It's my coffee table. Well, it's not on the coffee table. It is the coffee table. I put legs on it, and it's a very small table because I don't drink a lot of coffee, and when I do it, spilled down the hole in the middle, but I have a bowl underneath to catch it all. Yeah, good old Lex. I remember him well.